So we are now the third hour, hour three of Tuesday Live with Linda, August 25th. And one of the things I would like to address is this concept of more, Jean, what you were just talking about, the ability of a person to see where someone else has pain. And that is the opposite of what our intention is for the T-Touch work. And the difference is in that ninth element, the empowerment scale, that we empower the person being T-Touched with the responsibility of guiding us with the pain level or the level, yes, the what is the level of pain and the level of pressure and tempo and the part of the area that we want to be worked on. So it's really, there's so many wonderful, wonderful modalities, and to understand that one of the primary intentions behind this work is to give the person the ability to feel themselves and to take and to know that they can be responsible, that they can get what they need. And that means they may need to explore the possibility of a lighter contact or a deeper contact and see what that actually feels like and be able to give it a number on, like on the empowerment scale, we have the numbers 1 to 10. I actually set this after the intention of judging dressage with horses. And so we have on this scale, we have numbers 1 to 10, and we have words that go with those numbers so that you have a logical number and then you have a feeling. So on this scale, our 10 is, it's the wow factor. Oh my gosh. I mean, it's phenomenal. That's phenomenal. Like whatever the tempo and the pressure is and the part of the body, it's a really amazing experience. And then you have the 5, which is okay. Now, anything below, like the first time I ever used this feedback scale in South Africa with a group of practitioners who were in their fifth week-long training after 2 years. And I thought I was had my hand on the stand beside the person, because when we're teaching this in workshops, as long as the person is learning and healthy and doesn't have an issue, we do this in standing, because it's in the standing position that you are responsible for your body. As soon as we lie down, man, if you have any experience with body work, you want to have something wonderful done to you, whatever that is. But in the standing position, this is how we go through life. So if one person on this hand shoulder, and I just on the left side of her back, I make this smooth move that for me would be an ideal pressure and tempo. And I ask her on a number of 1 to 10, what she would give that. And it was a 4. A 4 means, it's like in the dressage world, if you're judging it, it's insufficient. But what does that word mean? It's like a That means you don't quite dare to say, you sure wish you'd do something else. It's not working. So we say, And she thought, wow, I thought that's interesting, because that would be perfect for me. So I say, well, would you like more pressure or less? And so she wanted more. So I did a firmer movement from the shoulder down to the pelvis, to the base of the pelvis. And I said, so that could be a 6. A 6 is interesting. That's the word, interesting. better than a five. A five is just okay. Okay is, you want to see if it's possible to get better than okay. Might not be possible if a person is in pain. Might not be. But so, okay. So I said, well, so how could, is there a way I could make that more effective for you? And she said, yes, slower. And I like a faster contact. So I went slower and firmer. And that was like a 8, which is good. 8 is a good. So I took it from like, you know, really not okay to a good. And one day we were sharing this in one of the German classes, and I did this same movement we call Noah's March, bringing all the whole, making a contact in this case, the first contact with the person, gaining trust. And I got a 9. And so I said to this person who was she's a medical doctor. So I said, is there anything I could do that would make that a 10? And she said, yes, if you were George Clooney. So that was like, it's an ongoing joke in our, you know, in that class, because what is a 10? It's when it's just amazing. And by giving the person, having them give feedback of less pressure, more pressure, or the same, and slower, faster, or the same, you get the person to actually think what they're doing. And it was interesting because I did this I think I can say this is my sister. My sister and my brother-in-law were here in a week-long course. And at the end of this first time that we did this sharing in this way, the first time that my brother-in-law had been in a class, I asked him how it was for him. And he said, well, it was the first time that Robin had actually listened to what he wanted. And I thought, that's kind of interesting, because we don't really listen often. And I had another really, really dramatic, and if Rose is on this call, you know who it is. We had a couple in the class. This was the first of what turned out to be 5 years that they kept coming. But at the end of a weekend, the wife said that she had come to this class going to make a decision whether she would stay with her husband 30 years or not after this. And she'd made the decision to stay because it's the first time that he had actually listened to her, what she wanted. And what we find is, like, typical in a class I did for couples many years ago, I had one couple in there that he was a construction worker and his wife had Bell's palsy. And his hands were, you know, he'd used them a lot. And he really couldn't feel anything on his body less than an 8 pressure. Now, that, you know, in massage therapy, like a 6 or 7 is where they start. And at 8, that he couldn't feel anything without that. And she, anything more than a 1 pressure anywhere on her body was alarming. And the two of them were able to come together using these various combinations of T-touches so that each could give the other person what they wanted. And we had another really interesting couple. The husband liked a 2 on his body, and this can be from old injuries as a child that you don't trust your body. And his wife, anything less than a 6 or 7, she didn't take seriously. And the two of them could give each other what they wanted using this feedback scale. So this is one of the really empowering when, and on ourselves, listening to ourselves, because I don't know about you, but my tendency is to work deeper on myself. And I have to really pay attention to then go into that laser T touch, because my tendency is more the sponge, go in deeper. And I can send now with this laser T touch, when I stop and I share this with you all and I think about, like, the periosteum concept, that's that's something, Paula, that I knew that I had to do and I haven't done. And I'm going to do this after the class with the whole area. And it's also on the inside I have to go because something got bruised in my intestinal tract, I'm quite sure. So it's so helpful to think in most modalities, we expect the practitioner to know what's right for us. That's why they spend, you know, a lot of time figuring out how can we make this person feel better. And one time I went for a massage in London and I lay down on the table and this one, and I said to her, please, I'm a Feldenkrais practitioner. I really appreciate light work. And so if you could go much lighter than usual, that would be helpful to me. And she put her hands on him and she said, I am a trained massage therapist. I know what is right for your body. And I thought, I'm in trouble. And so what I did, and usually in a class, I'll show this, I lay down on the floor. And when she put her hands on me, my whole body went, jumped up in the air. I mean, straight up like off the table. And it really like startled her. And I said, oh, excuse me, I react like a horse. She was able to work lightly on me. Today, I would never, you know, I'm much more careful. I wouldn't do that. I mean, I wouldn't go to her because if I shake somebody's hands and they've got a firm hand shake, sorry, I think I forgot another appointment. I don't want to go there. I'm still not honest enough to say, I don't think I can get what I need here from you. Sorry. And I don't know about the rest of you. I find it still, at 83, still hard to be honest about what it is that I need. Getting there. And it's helpful for me to talk about this like this and realize how much, what it takes to say what we need. Any comments or questions about this? And what I'm going to do after that, I'm going to lead you in this face refresher, give you something else that you can do for self-help that is really fantastic. But first, I'd like to know if anybody, Kristen, if you've just, something I've said that you would like to, makes you, brings up a question or a comment.
I still have two more questions, and Yael has her hand raised, but no.
Oh yes, Yael. No, it's Yael first. I'm sorry. Oh my gosh, I meant to go directly to you. Let's see if we can get first her question or comment.
You wanted the experience from Feldenkrais, and today I had a class, and many times after the class, people want, and they come with problems and they want something to do in the meantime for the whole week until we meet the week after. And with Feldenkrais, it's always, well, okay, do it, but do it very gently. Do it, but feel what you're doing. And, you know, it's kind of, I exaggerate my voice on purpose. It's like, okay, do it, but so this time there was this young woman who's a dancer and she's gonna have a show and she hurt her foot. So I sat with her after the class and I just told her to start doing this circle and a quarter on her knee. She hurt the foot. And I was, you know, waiting to see. And she said, okay, I feel it in the foot. Okay, it's still hurting, but now I can stand on it. And I told her, okay, just explore it until next. So I find teachers very helpful in that. You know, it's so easy to say to someone, it's just, you know, why a circle and a quarter? That's a question I am not so. It's hard for me to answer, but other than that, it's so easy to get a person to do that. And it's reassuring, you know, okay, just do it, explore.
So let me give you the answer to why the circle and a quarter. because that's a really important question, isn't it? How did we come to that? So in the beginning, when I, and Eleanor swears that for years I was doing these circles with the horses, but I was never even aware of them. But on that day in 83, when I had this owner of the horse go up, and the horse that was really reactive to any kind of contact with their body, I had just gone up and, I had done this beautiful, very quiet Feldenkrais work on her. Just giving her a sense of her body. I was just giving the horse a sense of her body, of trust. That's it. And so her owner said, okay, Linda, like, what's your secret? Like, why is this horse not trying to react or bite or kick you? And I said, don't worry, go up and move the skin in a circle. I didn't say a circle and a quarter. I said, just a circle. And she did it, and the horse got quiet, and I started following the circles. And then I remember the first group that I taught this to was a horse day, a day of demo with a horse. And I had everybody stand up. There were about 100 people there. And then I had them do circles on the back. And it's like, wait a minute, if you do a circle just on your own shoulder, I don't know if you can feel it as well on yourself, but just imagine this face of a clock and put your fingers at 6 and move around the face of the clock and stop at 6. And when I do that, when I ask somebody, like somebody will say, just like you did, EIO, well, why the circle and the quarter? I say, you want to feel it? Come up here. So I'll demonstrate it. So if I do it on someone else, I do 1, I start at 6 and I end at 6. And always, always the reaction is, but it's not finished. Yeah. And so so we started doing a circle and a little more at first. And if you look at the original drawings, it showed the hands of the clock to about 7:30. Because if you do now this circle and a little more. Interesting. It's like, now it's a little harder on yourself to get the exact quarter. And so then when we started using computers, we found it was simpler to describe a circle and a quarter. That's way easier than a circle and a little more. What? You go to 7:30? What? So we started doing just to 9 or 3 if it's in the other direction. And we found, wait a minute, when I would really stop at 9, do it on your own, or go the other direction, 6 to 3, 12, 9, 6, 3. Now that means I really have to stay present to stop there. And when I do, it was different.
Yes, I followed you and I have this experience right now. Yeah, the 6 wasn't good, and but it's like the 6 is, hey, what, where is it going? And the if I add the quarter, it's like, hey, how about this? You know, it's a different, it's like, you're not leaving. You're not leaving. It's not like, okay, I did a circle, bye-bye. It's, you're not leaving. It's not a question. It's not a question, but it's like, okay, how about this? Okay, like, okay, thank you so much.
Yes. Now, and so on that same person, I'll go like, and how is it if I do 1 circle and a half? And if you do it on yourself, like 1 circle and a half, and you stop at 12, it's like, what?
And yeah, it stops.
Denise, exactly. It's like, what? It's not like, and Denise, this will be very interesting to experience this with different young people, having them like, wait a minute, because I can soak if I'm really precise in that movement. And if you think of, instead of a circle and a quarter, if you break it into five arcs, five quarter circles, for some people that is a clearer movement. Those, and it's an opening and closing of the fingers. That is when we use the clouded leopard touch. But in the raccoon, it's so tiny, you don't get that closing and opening. And of course, when you use the banana slug, you don't get, it's just you're moving around that soft part of your hand. It's soft, but it's still the basic one and a quarter. Now, okay, so we started realizing, wait a minute, I have to stay present. Yael, just what you said the other day, that feeling of being present, being here in this body. I personally, as the toucher, have to stay present in order to stop at that one and a quarter. And it's in my respect of staying present when I apply the one and a quarter circles that something deeper happens. And so we did this then for years because we were doing these big classes in Germany where we'd have like 28, 30 in a class. And then in a weekend class, a young man came in, we've all, I think, heard this story, and he was one of these, he was in the autism spectrum, genius, brilliant young man, a savant. And he said, but wait a minute, that's this magical golden ratio, this circle that's in all of nature. And that's when I started thinking, and people had tried a couple of times to say to me, Linda, you're doing a spiral. And I said, no, it's a quarter and a circle. Actually, it's really the spiral, the form of the spiral. It's interesting. So thank you, Yael. You see how important that question was. And there is an answer when we simply give the person the opportunity to feel the difference. Lois, do you have your hand up?
Jean does, Linda, but I have another three questions too. So
okay, good. Lois? Yes?
I got my shoes. I got my shoes.
Oh, can I see? Can we see?
Well, yeah. These are the all red shoes. Let's see here. How can I?
Not everybody was here to know what we're talking about with shoes.
Yeah, they're all, because my feet are so bad. I had surgery on one years ago. They removed a bunionectomy. So mm-hmm. My left foot is narrow, but the bunion is still on my right foot.
Can you take your shoe off and show it to us?
Yeah, here it is.
We can't hold it up and speak, because when I'm speaking, I'm on, and you speak and hold up your shoe.
Oh, okay. There. It's right in front of my face.
Turn it different. Oh, the light isn't very good on it. It's dark. What color is it?
Black. Charcoal.
Okay. It's black. Can you turn it sideways so we can see? Speak again. You have to speak.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got to keep speaking, don't I? Anyway, it's the top part is eucalyptus. It's real soft. They're real comfortable.
Nice.
They are comfortable.
So this was one of the shoes that was recommended. I think, is this the shoe, Teresa Cottarelli, I think that you had recommended?
No, this is Allbird. Allbird, A-L-L Bird, Allbird. These are the great Allbird shoes. And great. They're eucalyptus, and they have the other kind they make are all wool for colder climates. And wool is, you know, the properties of wool. This one is eucalyptus because I live in Phoenix and it's 112, 13 this week. And so the sales guy said, he was in Palm Springs, and he said, I think you'll like this one.
And is it helping?
They were instantly comfortable. And they've got, you know, soles, and they bend, they're flexible. And I need a sole on the hot pavement. I got to have a soul in the rocks and the cactus thorns. And, you know, I can't get away with some skinny little dancy, you know, and they were so cute, the toe things. They were so cute. But, okay, so I put them on. But I think my right foot, I think there's a wart down there, actually. There's a callus that's coming on for a couple of years. I can't seem to get rid of it. I tried the Compound W freezy stuff, and it's a little bit better. But I think, and then my friend found a foot doctor. And his wife loves the guy. And I think that's the doctor I'm going to see if I can get into. And because, yeah, my left foot's happy. My right foot still is not quite. And so the T-tut, I'm learning how to use it. I'm learning how to do it, you know, watching you and practicing. And it's like, okay, use that Feldenkrais touch and my massage and my, all the other stuff I've learned, and kind of get your intent together and do it.
And with the T-Touch, what you want to do, what I suggest you do is, first of all, do T-Touches, like run long lines on the foot that is the soundest.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Run long lines and then go to the other foot and really run these long, like follow like their four, just make four lines or four meridians. It doesn't matter. Just like four lines,
four. Two down each side of the leg and they run onto the foot.
And in the foot, but make four lines in your foot.
Yeah, okay. Those four lines, yeah. Yes.
And just connect with all the parts that are working well. And put your focus there. And just allow that part that's painful, that is not working so well. Make little T-touches around it, but talk to it. And what I mean by talking to it, like, remind the cells of all the parts that are working. Okay.
Cool. Thank you. And I bought an oximeter today.
Oh, great.
Yeah. I it's like, wow, this is cool.
What's your oxygen level?
About 96 or 7 so far.
Great. Fantastic.
It's my pulse is, you know, pretty decent really for, I play bagpipes. So.
That'll help you. That's great. Thank you.
Yep.
The reason the oximeter, I don't know if you're all aware of this, but there's been a recommendation that we all have those so that you can watch your oxygen levels, because if you drop below 90, do something to get it up there, you know. And I wish that Eleanor had had hers when she was so sick, because her son got one after.
My friend was head of TRW safety, and we had a friend in the hospital, you know, pneumonia or whatever, and the doctor on the phone with the doctor, he said if she had one of these things and could keep her oxygen above 95, she wouldn't have to go into the hospital now, you know, bad idea to go. And she was able to do it because she could monitor and he could know what she was every hour.
Wow. Yep. She, fantastic.
You got good. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. So Kirsten, questions? Other questions?
Okay. The first one was Claire from France. I have a question about using T-Touch with teenagers and introducing it into the classroom and how to explain it to them to make it sound rational or acceptable. I know Denise answered some, but maybe there is more input.
Well, let's just, again, for everyone, just hear Denise, because this is so helpful. How do you introduce it into your class?
All right. I teach before I make the introducing of you and Feldenkrais. I teach it in physics and tell them how it works and what it brings to the body, how is the communication between the cells and the mechanical things from the muscle, from the brain to the muscle, and all this. And then I tell them it's very, very freiwillig. Everybody should made it free, and it's not a must do, and they could.
Is it a choice, right? Whether they do it or not. Right.
Yeah. And it's an they should stand up, and then they should try to look left and right, made the Feldenkrais thing, then the movements between the hip and ribs and so. And then I tell them, look to the hard hug and feel it, take it in the movement left or right, and what you tell usually. And yeah, it's very important that you don't make a decision how it feels and how it works. It's very important for the students to know it's not a right or wrong in this. And then I ask them if it's okay to give me any feedback for you, because that's really new for them, and the Aufmerksamkeit, they look another kind to the body and to the feelings if they have to get feedback after this. And it's all things very, very interesting. And that's what I don't tell you. In my last week at school, two boys came to me and I asked, what do you want? And only talk with me? No, a little bit touch, tea touch, and a little bit talking. And then I show them the things for the shoulder, also give the hard hack, and nebenbei, next to.
Yeah.
And after 10, 15 minutes, one of the boy are stand there, and I look, and he make with his feet on the table and hold this and make feet, and I ask him, what do you do? And yes, I feel my feet first time in a special kind. It's very, very interesting. And it was very fascinating of this feelings. And it was a great thing.
Wow, that is.
Yeah, and I'm sure after the holidays and when we started school, many students of this come to me, especially in this time when before we have tests and so on. And there are the big threes of that of your method is very, very good, and many students like the ear touch and and the hard hug. These both are very, very good. The mouth, not everybody likes this, especially in front of the others or me. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, interesting, isn't it, that this is harder often for people to do around the mouth, the tea touch around the mouth when other people are around? And because it's such an important part of our survival, this mouth. And it has, if you look at the homunculus drawing, you see that the lips and all this part has such a big sensory part of our bodies. Anyway, we'll stay on this, but at some point, remind me, maybe the next time I'll Kirsten, remind me, and I will send you so that we can share the drawing of the homunculus. I've got to scan it, so we've got it. Because it's harder. Now, the thing is that you could have people, if they want to experience it, have everybody put their hand over their mouth so nobody can see what they're doing and do tea touches around the mouth. Because this is such a close connection with the emotional parts of our brain, and it's also about survival. I mean, look, unless you're in a hospital, if you can't eat or drink, you can't live. And this, like, if something happens, it's such an instinctive movement to close the mouth. Isn't that funny? To cover the mouth. Anybody ever think of that? And this, I mentioned this before, this thing, like, guys with mustaches are really fortunate because this is such a way of soothing oneself with a mustache. And we women, we don't have the, like, the shaving thing is really helpful because you move all of that around, and you have to make this movement around here and you make some moves. We just lined up kind of lipstick is about the only thing really that we get to move it. So it is, if there's a way to explore that in an acceptable way so that we start thinking about how important that is. And you think of the statue, the famous statue of the thinker, resting the chin in the hands. Well, this is a really, and let's see, you're thinking. How many of you, if you notice, how many people will make this movement if they're thinking? If they haven't been taught by their mothers to keep their hands away from their mouth because of germs. Interesting. Self-soothing, sucking the thumb, sucking on something as a baby, you know, sucking the pacifier. This is self-soothing. And we can do it just with this movement when we feel fear or uncertainty. You can, or you want to think, try it next time. Interesting. Yes.
One thing I've discovered is that one of my horse's favorite things is for me to go way up inside his mouth. He just loves it. He's a very anxious horse, but this is what he loves. And I think also, you know, if we all have rubber gloves or latex, you know, free gloves. And I've been interested in going way up inside my own mouth, inside my lips, and really, you know, doing a lot of the tea touch and the exploration inside my own mouth as a way of kind of opening up this whole expressive muzzle that is such an important part of the vagus system. So,
yeah. Great idea, Paula, because if your hands are clean, you know, really clean your hands and go in there. It's a really interesting idea. I mean, we never explore that because, you know, your hands aren't clean in a class necessarily, but there are certainly ways of doing that.
Yeah.
That's a good idea to go from the inside.
One more thing. For the teaching in a classroom, it's very important to give them a handout how it goes with the clock, the 1 1/4, and the scala from the pressure. That's very important that they understand before they do something touches on themselves. I clear it in the theory how it goes and why it's important to visualizing the clock and make 1 1/4, and that's what I want to tell before.
Beautiful. And I'm going to bring that at this point. Rose, Rose Anderson, if you're on the phone and you can speak, I would love it if you would share that piece about the mental stability association and checking by following the movement around the face of a clock. I don't know if it's possible for you to speak about it. I should have you write something about it for the next time because I'm not sure you can get on the phone. But what was so interesting, we had this discussion last night about there's a type of therapy where they have a person follow around the face of a clock in terms of stabilizing mental balance, is how I understood it. So, and this idea also, as you say, Denise, this basic concept of getting the idea of 1 to 10 pressure, even though we're going to learn the 1 and the 3, and know that most of the time, if we want to connect with that cell communication, we're talking about those, you know, like 1 to 3 pressures. As soon as you go deeper into the body, you start going to the 5 to the 6, which some people need in order to take yourself seriously at first. They have to go there. And then find out, wait a minute, that's going deeper into the muscular system, but we're, in order to connect with that amazing creativity of the universe in every cell in the body, it's the light touches, like the 1, 2, really pressures. So explore both.
At school, I made the pressure 1 and 3 and tell no more, you don't need no more. It's enough. 1 and 3, it's okay. And the other things they could learn later, but not in the first or second lesson.
And that's great. And the thing is that if a person can't feel much about the 1 or 3, just maybe start imagining, wait a minute, like, think you will come up with the right thing for the moment in the class. Just imagine maybe some other being that this is, that your arm isn't your arm. What if this was whatever comes to you, some really sensitive animal, and feel yourself in a different way, but you know, That's right. That's in the moment, what fits for the class, but taking them beyond themselves, because know that some people can't feel light pressure. They cannot take it seriously. So we want to make sure that they don't think there's something wrong, because that's normal. It's like, you know, protecting our bodies. And others are way overwhelmed by anything more than a 2. And we're all different. That's what's so interesting about it.
Linda?
Yes, Teresa.
May I add something about the pressure? When I work with somebody who, as you said, that they don't feel it, so I tell them, you know, your cells got the message. They will tell you. Linda, I work with, because we with our ratio, with our brain, we don't feel it, but it's really the neurosensory, the neurotactile, what is tactile, the touch is, because it is. I'm sorry, it's a little bit late now, but I just wanted to say, when they don't feel it, I do not really going more and more until they feel it, because then I'm on the muscle, and
right.
That's the difference that I tell him. It's just to get the connection, and you can trust that your body got it, and you will go to have it, the sensation also afterwards. It's a way to start when they think that they have to feel it stronger and stronger. It's a possibility.
And maybe having a different part of the hand to do the touches instead of
exactly.
The fingers.
Yeah.
That may be where it might be interesting and helpful to explore just using a different part of the hand, because you may be able to feel more that way than with the fingers that are so schooled to do stuff.
Yeah. Thank you. And good night and good morning for everybody. Good night for me. Ciao.
Good night, Teresa. And thank you for the beautiful PowerPoint for Roland.
You got it. I will do something for 80.
Okay.
I'll send it to you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. So for those of you who know, Roland turns 80 on Sunday. And all these years, only once in the last 20 years have we ever been able to celebrate his birthday, because we've always been on a plane at that time to Europe. That's when we go to Europe each year. So he's missed so many birthdays, and only one time for his 70th in Slovenia, we had an amazing party for him. That's the only time. So we want to do something online for those who know him as Mr. T-Touch, which he loves. So Kirsten, we had other questions, yes?
Yes, from Karen. So one is, she doesn't know where to raise the hand, and I cannot tell her exactly where it is because I have a different screen.
Oh, I think you go, when you click on chat, at the bottom it shows you a little hand. But the best thing, because there are more than one screen, just unmute yourself and start talking. Can't hear you.
This is Karen.
Click on chat, and then along the bottom, I thought I earlier saw that there was a little hand.
Okay. I'll search for it later.
And then, Karen, you had a second question. Do you want me to read it?
Oh, sure.
Okay. And regarding the element number 8, I wonder if there are specific touches in addition to hard hug for concentration/learning.
Well, the 8th element is our intention. So it has to do with the intention. What is the intention behind T-Touch? And that is, it's a really good question. Thank you. Maybe I'm not clear enough in that, what that is, because it's like, rather the intention to do something to somebody, it's, or to know what they need, or to fix them, or to heal them. It's to give them, reflect to them, be a witness for them of their, this concept to remember your perfection at the cellular level. Mm-hmm. And I got that came to me from reading Sir Charles Sherrington, Man on His Nature, his passion about the fact that you could have a little cut on his hand and that the body itself knows how to heal that. That's what gave me that idea. When I don't know how yet, because it was after the first year of my Feldenkrais with Moshe, and I had seen Moshe in 20 minutes work with a 28-year-old woman who'd had a stroke a couple of years before and couldn't use her hand. And in 20 minutes, she was using her hand normally. And I think all of us know how to do that now. Mm. It's so easy. But we didn't know, and I didn't know. I knew that I didn't, of course, know how to do that yet. And so I just said, okay, cells, when I don't yet know how to do this amazing Feldenkrais work, all I have to do is say, yeah, just remind these cells, allow these cells to tell this body, these cells, remind it of their potential for perfection. And then I adapted that to remember the potential for ideal function in cases that were, where the person couldn't maybe believe that. It's amazing in classes to me how often people will pick up on that one thing and they take away, remember your perfection. They get that themselves, to be seen in that way.
Mm-hmm.
So witnessing. Thank you. Is that helpful?
It's very helpful to me personally. I was reading it differently in that if someone were at a point where they were losing a little bit of the ability to connect or speak or learn, that I, you know, the heart hug you had mentioned is one way. And then when you did the mouth too, it seemed that kind of awakens maybe a little more of the thought process. That's what I'm talking about, is really a kind of a fading away.
So Karen, that's really important. Let us explore that, because that simplicity of that statement is the beginning where we begin to witness that. But then how do we bring that experience to a person? Because as fading away, I want to talk about this, like at 83, and especially after this accident, I used to be known as Alarm Clock Hood. I'd wake up and I'd spring out of bed. I'm slower in the morning. And it's interesting. And what I'm doing is consciously looking at that and then exploring, okay, so what is the balance? What am I getting? What can I do with that body that isn't responding as quickly as it used to? What part can I appreciate? So I switch to see that, whoops, that glass, it's not quite so full of energy, but what can I see to tell myself that what gifts do I have to bring to the world? What else could I see? Now, the way we look at that in another person, say it's a person who has a stroke, or boy, they've got, other parts of the body that for one reason or another are not working as well as they were before. How can we bring appreciation? And that's the word I want to use. I'm dealing with that with my husband. Mm-hmm. He is, I believe, and we have a next in a few weeks, online teleconference with the doctor. It looks like he's got the signs for Parkinson's. So how does that feel when a person starts to have less, energy, less resources? How can we bring appreciation? Now let's bring awareness to the parts that are working. As I mentioned before to Lois with her foot, for me, I want to talk about those things where what I do is focus more on the appreciation of everything around me. I can take my time to do that. So in the case of, it could be any age, the youngest possible, body isn't working so well. Let's focus on the parts that are. What can you feel? In the case of a stroke, we start with the part that feels well. And then we map the body and we show, wait a minute, where is that feeling not so clear? Let's go back to where it is clear. And then we start to combine the part that isn't clear. And you can bring hope and new levels of awareness in this way.
Well, if the cloudiness is in, maybe in the brain, it seems that this would bring the focus then to whatever, an appreciation for oneself and that divine spark. I think that's a wonderful thing to put out there.
And one of the things to consider also, if the fogginess is in the brain, does it have to do with sight at all or feeling in the brain?
Feeling, I think. Not sight, I don't think.
So one of the things to consider is I have been so happy with my eyes because I got over, thanks to the Beamer, over this flashing lights at night. I couldn't drive at night. And so I was in denial that I was having trouble reading letters that unless they're in bold. I was in total denial. And but last week when I was at a light, and because of the light, I couldn't see the green turn arrow, I told that to my ophthalmologist. And he said, you're dealing with cataracts. And when that's part for many people, not everybody has it, but a lot of people do, and you will see colors less brightly. Now, the fact is, when you simply put in new lenses, as many of you heard from Joyce Anderson, who was legally blind and couldn't drive and now can see, he said, you'll be amazed at how the colors are more vibrant. Now, when we see colors more vibrantly, or when I am not frustrated by the fact that I can't read those gray, tiny 12 font easily, that's going to make my head clearer, mm-hmm. a possibility. The other thing to do with that are the hair slides.
Hair slides, yeah.
And thinking, Karen, mm-hmm. pull up some memories that make you feel really good. Mm-hmm. Or do you have any possibility to be, do you live where you can be in nature, where you can be around trees, or?
Yes, and this is for someone else that I'm asking the question, and it's also an aging process.
Right.
Close to, 100.
And so I think the eye thing could really be something, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, thank you. That gives me a lot. Thank you very much.
The appreciation is something that we...
Hey, Linda?
Yes.
For Karen, the raised hand is under participants.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. And also, I believe I read somewhere, although I can't remember, that the mouth had the most connections to the brain than any other part of our body, about 10,000. Uh-huh. And that our index finger was the second, but it was truly the mouth had the most connections with the brain.
Thank you.
And think how difficult that would be if you have any sort of teeth issues or gum issues.
Yes.
No? Interesting. Or jaw issues.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I would love to give you, this face refresher, but let me make sure I get the other questions first. Kirsten, do we have other questions?
Sorry. Valentina wanted to share something about emotions, and then I have one more plus two raised hands.
Okay, super. Valentina.
Oops. Sorry, she's gone now.
What?
Okay, Paula Joseph Jones. She said, I have a discovery that I would like to share.
Perfect.
Yes, hi. Paula. So I was playing with this, and I'm going to see if I can make my camera. I'm going to do it on my breast just because you can see it more easily. But I was just playing with this, you know, the circle, and then when I started the lift, I began rolling in. So I'm not going past a quarter, but I'm kind of going from this lying leopard to a little bit of a lift into a kind of a chimp.
Yeah.
What I love about it is it feels like it's supporting the lift and tracking the tissue in a way that feels quite brilliant. I had to share that.
Perfect. And that is what we would call, that's the form of the coiled python lift. So you come the 1 1/4, that's the coil, that's the circle, yeah. And then you lift the tissue upward.
But I'm literally rolling my fingers in. Yes, exactly, yeah.
So you're, in a way, you're doing part of almost a like a form of tarantulas, of skin rolling, because you're rolling that skin upward.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, it feels really wonderful. And I was thinking in the belly or in the softer, I was practicing it on my cat and she was completely enjoying it. It's great. I just wanted to share that because it felt so lovely to this area that I'm healing.
Right. And how is that around your shoulder when you do a really gentle one?
It's really nice when I do a gentle one because there's so much contracture right across the pectorals right now. And if I kind of come right into the armpit and the axilla, it just feels like a tremendous relief.
Beautiful. Like
right, yeah. So the circle and then this little curling in is just lovely. So.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Okay, next is Morjean. She had her hand up.
I just have a question. I wasn't sure when you did that laser, it almost looked like you did a circle and then you did another circle you imagined in the air. Are you just imagining in the air with every 1 1/4 circle?
I'm coming around and then I come up again and it's another spiral and then I, yes, it's like I'm imagining that second circle, but it's more inward to the center and then out and then I curve in from that, like the 9 curves up and around and like right into the center of it.
Doing 1 and then you're imagining the next one going up and coming down.
Right.
Right.
But am I actually bringing my, imagine it coming up, but actually lightning very slightly, lightning coming off the body, but it's like off the end of the hair on my arm. It's not really off. You have to play with it and see what works for you. But it, the idea is into the middle. And it's really a straight into the very center out of that second. And that's a good way to describe it. That second, but much smaller circle 1 1/4 inside and then straight into the middle. Okay. Off that curve.
I just wanted to remind you, you told us at the first of the class you learned something new yesterday about the 1 1/4 circle you wanted to share with.
Well, that's what I was talking with Rose. If we could get Rose, we were talking about how the moving around the face of a clock was used in a type of therapy that was really useful to keep a person present, to check with the ability to stay present. And I'd never heard of it, and but I don't know if she can. She may have to write it to us because she's on the phone and not in a place where she can share.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, thank you for the question.
And then we have Liz Thompson.
Liz, yes.
Hi, everybody. I was just wondering, when the lady was talking about the memory, I've been doing the T-Touch, I've been practicing everything and experimenting, and it's just, well, I could talk for hours or ask questions for hours, but the one thing that really got me was thinking, I've been doing a lot because I had trigeminal neuralgia of working around my head, and then my brain was as if it was saying, what about me? So I was doing the T-Touch in my brain, you know, like visualizing it, and yes, it was unbelievable. And then it was as if like the whole brain connected, and then I just, you know, like when you meditate in yoga or something, it, everything just lit up, and then there was this energy went up and down my spine, and then everything just connected, and I could just feel like everything pulsing from the whole of my body, and it was absolutely unbelievable. And I've done it many times since, but I was thinking for that lady, was it Karen? And she was for her friend. And I, obviously you've got the main thoughts on it, but I've tried it a lot and I've got a few friends to try it. And it
seems keep talking more about it. It's really helpful.
Well, just really visualizing the T-Touch and experimenting too on how it is in like the front of the brain or the back of the brain with no particular agenda. You know, like you were saying, with the element of eight, just the intention, just think, inquiring what's going on. So, and you'd feel that some bits would be a bit less responsive or receptive. So I'd go, okay, let's just go over here and then picture the tea touch there. And it changed all the time. It wasn't like one area was the same size or speed. It was all different. And it was almost like I was sitting back watching what was happening. And then there was just this connection of everything just seemed to just go bing. The light, I actually thought the light was on in the bedroom because it was nighttime. And then I just felt everything, literally down to my fingernails, everything was just pulsing. It was like diamonds everywhere. It was, you know, and my brain feels more alive since. So like, say like round the back here, I'd put it everywhere. I'd picture what the brain was like and one side to the other. You'd play like a ping pong match in a way. So has anyone else tried that? Have you?
Thank you.
And beautiful. Go ahead. Somebody just spoke up.
I just said thank you.
Oh, yeah. Great.
Oh, you're welcome. It's good fun.
So, yeah. Liz, let me ask you, were you touching your scalp as you're doing this? Were you in the energetic field around?
I was just in my imagination. I'm fascinated with what you've been showing and teaching. So I've been trying everything. Everything you say, I try. Even like last week, you said about walking on your toes first.
Totally.
I've been walking around the park with the dog doing that. It's great. It's really loosened up the spine. So I play. And I thought the one thing I haven't done is massage my brain. How can I do that? So the tea touch stuck in my head. And then I just pictured these spirals. And sometimes I'd feel a bit excited and go quickly, and I'd say slow down a bit. And it was like someone was inside my brain working it around. So
beautiful.
Yeah, it really was. But I've done many months ago, because I asked about the trigeminal neuralgia, you showed me the hair slides and the different things. And I felt like I'd been doing that a lot. And it was almost like my body was saying, now we need to try this. So I didn't think of it myself. I was shown it, if that makes sense. I
absolutely
can't take credit.
No, but that's phenomenal. Because look, listen to this. I love this. So when we open ourselves, I'm reading this from Joan King's book, page 14. When we open ourselves to source energy, that divine spark, now in every cell, we connect with cellular wisdom. For source energy is our link to the creative energies of the universe. So you, as you say, you're being told by your creative energies of the universe, of yourself, you're listening.
Yeah. I think the minute we step out of the way and we don't think, it just appears. It's such fun. You know, you just, I've done it in my lungs, my kidneys, my liver. I've gone all over the place. And I've even tried it when I'm walking the dog in the park, and you see a dog, they come up to you, don't they, other people's dogs. And you just say in your mind, hello, and you look and their hips are stiff, and I'll be saying, how are your hips today? And I picture my hands on their hips, and you see them move or just... And sometimes as you're walking or sit down or whatever, and as you're walking away, they start to follow you. And they really, it's saying it's simple is an undervalues it, but it is in a sense, isn't it? That wisdom, you know, and I find the less I think, the more it comes.
And I wanted to say, just because the book I'm referring to on page 14 is Joan C. King's book, The Code of Authentic Living, Cellular Wisdom. And to be able to put, like, where's that coming from? That divine spark that in every cell, not 100 trillion cells.
Yeah.
And just like, as you go through your body, now the fact that you did the hair slides at some point, before, I think that doing these hair slides and differentiating all the different parts. It's a beautiful way, Karen, for your friend to right at the root, hold between the thumb and four fingers. This is one way, make a circle and a quarter, and then the slide at 90 degrees from the scalp, wherever you are. And for me, it's really important. In other words, I don't like pull down words because that has a different feeling. And years ago, it was in the 80s, I was teaching a weekend T-Touch for you, and I had a cranial sacral therapist in my class. And what she said with these hair slides, that she could feel the connection through the dura, like through the bones to the brain, with the hair slides, which she could not reach with the cranial sacral movement, the gentle movement of the skull bones. So in that preparation for it, and then just to, because you've done all that connection, I think that intensifies your ability to go inside and feel.
Yeah. I've really taken on every time what you told me, and I work a lot in a hospital, just on Zoom at the moment because I can't go in because I'm not I'm just outside staff, and it's been profound, you know. And like you said, the heart hugs everything. Your work just goes so much deeper because you're putting everybody in their body and you're empowering them. And to the point that I did one with an oncology session with a little boy the other day, last week. His parents were very worried. He's got anger issues. And they contacted me and said, could you just do a session? Because you always seem to bring everyone around. I went, okay. And I wanted to do the touches, but it wasn't appropriate. So I thought, what could I do? And I thought of your animal touches. And I said to the little boy, again, I wasn't really thinking, it just happened. What animal would you like? Because he was sitting in the bed he's only six, really confined, you know, like his body, I don't think he's seen me very, but he was sort of sitting
this.
And I said, can you just
describe that, Liz? So for those
his arms were crossed over, one leg was up, tucking his arms in. So he was very defensive, very coiled in. And it's not appropriate to say, come on, stretch out. So I said to him, do you like being an animal? So we had a chat and he became a cheetah and his mum and dad were there and I always get the families involved. So I said to dad, what would you like to be? And he said, a fish. So I went, oh, great. You haven't got any arms and legs, so you've got to work out on it. The mum became a gorilla and somebody was a dolphin. There was all sorts of things. No, not a dolphin. Can't remember what the care worker was. Anyway, I got the little boy to pretend he was the cheetah and he stretched and then his claws came out and then we did all these movements. He's been constipated for weeks. And of course he's stretching. And I'm going, stretch your legs, can you roar? And then he had to go to the bathroom because he was moving. And then when he came, they turned the Zoom, the camera around. Then when we did more talking, I said, oh, he's a really happy cheetah. I said, he can put his hands here and he can circle around. And eventually this little boy, there was so much laughter in the room. He was really talking to his parents and the parents were involved too. And I was teasing his dad because he was a fish, going, well, you've just got to work how to move because you're a fish and you know, how are you going to move and stretch? And then eventually the little boy wanted to wee. So he got up and he doesn't get out of bed. And he got up and he's standing and all you can see is his lower body and his hips. And he's starting to move like moonwalking. And I said to him, what are you doing? I said, are you striking some moves? And he was laughing. Then he went to the loo with his little, and the drip and all the bits that they have. And then he came back and he started. Do you know the flossing dance? Do you have that? Do you see the kids doing that? Where they kind of, I don't know if you can see, they kind of stand and they kind of go like this and like this. And he's doing all these little moonwalky moves. It was brilliant. And that, I think, was channeling you because it all came from the animal at the beginning. And I've never done that ever. But we finished with the heart hugs. And that child was meant to have anger issues. And they said they'd never seen him so happy, and he slept so well, and his medication was less that day. But I'm going to see him again, hopefully, on Thursday, so we'll see. So that's all.
Liv, so what are you? Who are you?
I'm just me. I'm Liz, and I've worked with massage for 39 years. So I've worked originally in department stores in Selfridges, Harrods, doing traditional massage, and had my own salon, done all sorts. Then when I had my children, I then taught baby massage because it seemed natural. But then 30 years ago, no one was really doing it. And I don't know, I've never looked for work. And eventually the Royal London Hospital said, could you come and do, and I do massage and yoga, baby yoga. And I work a lot with very vulnerable parents. And I found myself working for 3-4 years in the Royal London. One day a week, I go in and I never know what I'm going to do, but it's empowering the parents and showing them the appropriate touch. And most of the time it's less touch, just resting hands and visualization and breathing. So I feel like, I knew about you years ago and have never got my act together. So that was the Feldenkrais Summit that I thought, right. And I just feel like you've just put all the puzzles together and gone, bush. It's great, isn't it?
It's a miracle, isn't it?
Yeah. And so I've been working again with Zooming. I haven't advertised, but I've been doing free Zoom sessions for mothers with babies all over the lockdown. And a lot of the mums have been mums who are on the streets, who've now been put in hostels. And we start with heart hugs and we do them. And at first I didn't explain it. I just said, imagine you've got your heart in your hands and just breathe. And then I watched how they were responding. And then I just started doing this because of course you copy. So they're mirroring what I was doing. And then then at the end of the session, I did it a bit more. And every session now we start with heart hugs and the smile. And I've noticed that the mums relate much better to their babies. And we do it on the babies too. So I get the mums sometimes, if they're not connecting well with their babies, one heart on them, hand on them, one on the baby, and just how you're doing, chatting, and we heart hug. It's just, I don't know, it's just amazing. That's it. I got the best job in the world. I think yours isn't bad, but I think mine's quite good too.
Fantastic. And so when you say you're working in the Royal, it's a hospital, right?
The Royal London. It's down in Whitechapel, if that means anything to anybody. So it's a very multicultural hospital. And it's just, but I only do that one afternoon a week. I work in children's centres, all sorts of places. Anyone that will have me, really. I've done homeless classes on the streets. I've done all sorts. It's because you don't need anything. You just need you and your hands. And you need the people just to empower them, don't you? That's all. It's all free, really, isn't it? It's just
yes.
The trust. That's what I like. I always say to everybody, your body needs to feel safe to let go. So if you're kind and gentle and loving, it will work. If you push, and I often ask them, if you're being pushed or forced, do you want to do something? And people go, of course I don't. So I say, if someone's kind and respectful to you, you'll go with it, won't you? So then I explain that with the body. And we've done it all over the place. And I've done loads of work on the faces with mums, especially the mums who are really bottling it in. But the babies, I found round their little mouths, I've always done mouth massage, but for digestive issues, it's brilliant. But emotionally, it seems just to move everything much faster, but not in a forceful way, a kind way. And it's almost like the babies look at you and go, yeah, thank you, I needed that. You know, it's because babies are wise, aren't they?
They are.
Yeah.
Would you be willing to have me take this piece with you and put it on YouTube?
Yeah. Yes. Anything that would help. I mean, that's my passion is I want to be able to help more parents whose children are in hospital because it's so tough for them. So yes, that'd be wonderful.
It's so tough for them. And this is such a simple.
Yeah. But it isn't simple. It is simple, but it's profound. That's the thing. But all simple things aren't simple. You know, a really basic meal tastes beautiful, doesn't it? You know, it's, what did you say? Just sitting and appreciating things. And I find in a hospital setting, everybody's holding their breath and they're standing, paying vigil over the baby's or child's cot. And if we're poorly, would we relax? And, you know, and of course, everything's got monitors, like the oxygen monitors and things. And I'll walk in, and of course, because I'm nobody, it helps. So I say, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a nurse, I'm just someone that talks about massage and yoga. So, but you know your babies, and I get them to stretch and yawn. And so often I'll have, because they're in their own individual isolated rooms sometimes, I can't take anything in apart from a doll that we have to keep wiping down. So I get the plastic. Anyone, I don't know what your hospitals are like in America, but it's probably very similar. You walk in and then you've got plastic gowns and gloves. And I just take a plastic gown and then I get the parents to hold and stretch, because then, of course, it's opening everything up and they're breathing and they're bending and they're having fun. And the babies then can watch and the children can watch them and you get them to talk. And then I get the parents to use the scarf. And then I've always put the hands here. But it's always led by the baby or the child. So it's always, even if they can't, a lot of the parents say, well, don't say hello to them. They can't hear you. And I go, yeah, of course they can. They know I'm here. You know, and I go, hi, whatever. And it doesn't help sometimes because some of the names you can't pronounce. And I'm like, I don't know how to say that name. So I'm trying to remember it. But they know. And if they're sleeping, I'll say, no one's going to come and touch you. No one's going to, we're just going to talk to your mum and dad. Is that okay? And if you're not okay, tell me to shush. And you see the heart rate settle and you see the bodies open, and I'll be chatting to the parents and I'll be saying to the babies, the way you're resting now is beautiful. Look at your little arms stretching out. You look so gorgeous. And these babies will loosen, but the parents are going, they can't hear you, but you just know. Yeah. But they're so stressed themselves. And then when they see it, you go the next time and the parents are talking. And the staff, the nurses and the doctors come in and they forget to say hello to the children. And they go straight in to do the work. No judgment, because they're busy. But I see the name on their tag and I go, oh, look, Mary's coming in. Oh, George, Mary's coming in and she's just going to take your temperature. So Mary's going to say hello. And then Mary looks at me as if to say, what are you talking about? And then she goes, oh, do you mind if I take the temperature? And then often they'll say, that was so easy to do that procedure today. And I'm thinking, yeah, because you're asking permission, aren't you?
Yes, you're asking permission.
Yeah.
And this is, it's so beautiful. And you know, the second T, people wonder, why do we have Tellington T Touch? It's not that it's Tellington Touch. That second T in T Touch stands for trust. And it took me years to figure that out. It was many years. And this concept that when we come from theoretically a place of anger, that anger comes from a place of fear and is a cry for help.
Yes.
When we get that, and when you bring the animals in this way.
Yeah. But I've never done that before. I've never brought an animal. I've done lots of visualization, but I never brought an animal in. And it was, I would pretend I'm fine when I'm doing the work, but when we finish the Zoom session, I tears rolling down my face, but happy, just like, oh my word, what happened? And the staff emailed back straight away going, that was amazing. But that was from you, I feel. You were in there channeling, do an animal, you know?
And they're all here in our hands. They're always with us.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the lovely thing. Yeah. And that's what I love, being a massage therapist. We were taught originally, you know, a long time ago, very structured. And I found over the years, the less you do, the better it works. The slower you are, like was it Yael who was saying? Slow, taking your time and getting the people, the clients to breathe with you. but I really like teaching, helping people do it themselves.
Yes.
That's so cool, because then you can really be empowered all the time, can't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. I've talked a lot. Thank you, everybody. I'm sorry to talk so much.
It was beautiful. Thank you.
Thank
and
you.
To take us with you into those places. And if we can just take the time now to send a heart hug to all the people who don't have anybody.
Yeah.
All the people, just send these heart hugs to them. To all of those who are not so blessed as we are.
Yes.
Sorry. And just send out love and deep, deep appreciation. And the prayer, the prayer that they can connect, each person can connect with that wow, that wow factor, that creative energies of the universe. And bring in the nature that reflects that, and all the animals and the heart in our hands. And it would be interesting just for us at this moment, what animal would you like? Let's each one of us just, let's choose to put the heart of one of those animals that we would like to put on our bodies. Who would that be? Each one of you. Just think of an animal around the planet that you'd like to be, like to come with you and have you snuggled here in your hand with their heart. And let's just send love and appreciation to that animal. And then take that feeling to all the people around the planet who don't have this opportunity at this time to have someone witnessing them, seeing them, their beauty. And this is so powerful. At this point, I would like to just end with this and hold the questions for our next Tuesday. And I'm going to read one thing out of here. And I think what this is, my book, most of you have seen this. I think this is this collection of voices of nature, these messages that I've received over the years. And this is on page 40. It was, as the early morning sun cast its first rays from behind the Rocky Mountain ridge across the valley where I sat, I put my pen to paper and the Atlantis poem flowed unexpectedly from my fingers. And it was this poem that wrote that we're all connected, and that this concept of coming together in this way and realizing our oneness with all that is, that this is actually gives us this opportunity to experience heaven on earth. And I kept getting these messages over and over, this concept from stones and the breeze and trees, this concept of experiencing heaven on earth. And knowing this concept of heaven on earth is when we realize, we recognize we are a part of all of this beauty, of all the nature, all that is, and this creative divine spark of the universe within us. And so I, after getting that poem on a Monday, I went home the following week and it was later in that day that I, in that first day that I began the first EEG study of T-Touch with Anna Wise, then the director of the Boulder Biofeedback Institute of Colorado. 4 days later, back home in Carmel, California, during a past life regression with Rhea Powers, who was visiting me and offered me this regression, I found myself standing on a vast aquamarine crystal stage. I was part of a large gathering, countless people, a gathering of friends saying goodbye near the end of Atlantis. We were all carrying large crystals programmed with information about Atlantis. And you have to understand, I had no interest at all in it before. I never read anything about it. We each agreed that at some time in the distant future, when the world is once again at a tipping point, which is where I believe we're at, we would find our way back together, each one bringing precious gifts. My gift would be a special type of simple touch that would remind each person of his or her perfection and oneness with divine spirit and with all that is. And that is heaven on earth. And welcome to the gathering of those who promise to make a difference in the world. And we have this opportunity by sharing this simple type of touch. And choosing to see the half empty glass as half full, and simply by counting our blessings. And my blessing is being with you all. Have a miraculous week. And let's just maybe write down a few of the magic and miracles that happens, because they happen to us all the time. And I believe that one of the gifts in this virus is the opportunity to slow down enough that we actually can go inside and appreciate ourselves and appreciate all that we have in our lives, and sending love to all those who need it. Thank you all. Blessings. Until next week. Aloha.